Hello, everyone. It's good to be here. It's really nice to see familiar faces and new ones. Thank you for inviting me. I've been invited today to speak about fasting. It's perhaps not everybody's favorite subject, certainly. It's not easy. My experience of fasting, it's been part of my life at a very young age. My parents used to fast every Tuesday, and they'd go to church, and they'd fast for the day, and on the odd occasion I'd join in. Also, they used to miss breakfast on a Sunday in preparation and seeking God for the Sunday service, and I also got into the habit of doing that, and did so even after I left home until the children came along, and then exhaustion and you need food. I still do it on the odd Sunday, but I have to confess that it's more for the lack of time getting ready to get out to church rather than a deliberate choice. Having said that, I do fast. I do part fast. When I seek God, when I need to seek God or hear from God, I do that. I'd like to do it more, but it's always good to have a challenge and to endeavor to do more. Just so that, not because it's a religious thing, but it's just for more intimacy and to spend that time with God. So, what is the Bible, or why do people fast in the Bible? So in the Old Testament, fasting was only commanded once on the Day of Atonement. So that was for people when they had to repent of their sins. And although it was commanded just once on the Day of Atonement, people in the Bible, we can see, fasted. And they fasted for different reasons in times of war or threat of it. When loved ones were sick, when seeking God's forgiveness, when faced with impending danger, and when seeking God's will. We will go on to look at a few of this a little bit more in detail and see how God answers prayer with fasting. And in the Old Testament, there are lots of references to fasting. So, in the first mention of fasting happens when Moses fasted and prayed for 40 days and nights. And he actually fasted twice. He fasted when he received the Ten Commandments. And again, he fasted when he came down with the Ten Commandments and discovered that the Israelites had sinned and they had built this golden calf to worship because Moses was nowhere to be seen. And the first time he fasted for communion with God, and the second time was to seek forgiveness for the people of Israel. And we read throughout the Old Testament that various people fasted. And that includes Esther. Esther fasted for divine intervention for the Jewish people when they were exiled in Babylon and they were about to be massacred. And with this fasting, the Jewish people saw God's deliverance. And Esther and Mordecai were rewarded for their courage and obedience. Daniel, he fasted for 21 days. He did this to humble himself before God, to seek wisdom and understanding, and to draw closer to God. As a result of that, God honored him and protected him in the lion's den and put him in a position of great power. Elijah, he fasted for 40 days. It's interesting for me that the numbers in the Bible is quite interesting. So the 40 days and 40 nights is interesting. And Esther fasted for 3 days. And again, I think that's very relevant, the time. But Elijah, he fasted because he feared for his life. Jezebel wanted him killed. And in that period of fasting, he was seeking God, spiritually seeking God. And it demonstrated his reliance on God to protect his life. Ahab fasted. Ahab was one of the wicked kings in the Old Testament. And when Elijah told him that his family was going to be destroyed in a terrible way, he fasted and he repented and he humbled himself before God. And in doing so, his family were prevented from being destroyed. The people of Nineveh fasted in repentance for their wicked ways when Jonah took the message of God to them and God spared them. There are many, many examples in the Bible. I'll just give you one more. Ezra and the people of Israel fasted for protection and guidance during their journey to rebuild the temple, and God protected them. Jesus, what did he do about fasting? Jesus began his epic ministry by fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He emphasized the importance of prayer and fasting for spiritual growth and divine guidance. There are several references in the gospel about Jesus going off to pray. And he encouraged his disciples to fast, not just publicly, but actually in secret. In Matthew 6:16, it says, "Whenever you fast, don't look dismal about it, like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have had their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees that will reward you." The three great practices amongst Jews was giving, praying, and fasting. And as I said just a few seconds ago, actually, previously Jesus' epic journey started with fasting. He starts by saying, "Whenever you fast," probably because he expected his followers to fast. Although neither he nor the New Testament writers command it, it was almost a given. Although Jesus did not command it, he knew that his followers would need to do it after his time on earth was done. In Luke 5:35, he says, "But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and in those days they will fast." And we find ourselves in those days where we do need to really seek God. And this continues into the New Testament church. After Jesus' death and resurrection, the church fasted and prayed on several occasions. Paul fasted and prayed for 3 days after his conversion, seeking God's guidance and healing. Paul and Barnabas prayed and fasted before appointing elders in the church. The church in Antioch fasted and prayed when Paul and Barnabas returned from their missionary journeys. This is a good example of the church coming together to fast and pray, and that there's power in it. There's power in unity. There's power in being single-minded about something. And in Corinthians 11:17, Paul says, "In weariness and painfulness, in watching, often in hunger, in thirst, in fasting often, often in cold and nakedness." That tells me that it's not an easy thing to do, but it's something that we need to do to develop our walk with God, to grow in God, to seek him, to hear answers to prayer. I'd like to briefly return to the story of Esther. She's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. And just talk a little bit about what she did. So the summary of the story of Esther, I'm sure all of us know it. She was an orphan Jewish girl who was brought up by her uncle Mordecai. She became queen to the king, Xerxes, who was a very evil man, and actually banished his previous queen, Vashti. While she was queen, she discovered that Haman, the most powerful man, or the king's right-hand man, was plotting to kill the Jews just because he was offended by Mordecai refusing to bow to him instead of just doing as he was told, because he knew that there was only one God. And so he plots to kill all the Jews. Mordecai hears of this warning and urges Esther to reveal her Jewish identity and to plead to the king for her people. Because at this stage, the king did not know that Esther was Jewish. Esther called a fast. She risked her own life, revealed Haman's plans to the king, and begs the king for mercy for her people. And to this day, the Jewish people celebrated as Purim, the deliverance of God's people during that time. So she called a fast. She acted. She stepped out in faith, risking death, and she witnessed God's providence. It was a big thing. She could have been killed if she wasn't invited to see the king, but she did it. And she obeyed and proved God's faithfulness. just to summarize, because I would like to spend some time praying, and this is what differentiates Christianity from other religions. We hear the theory, we can, you know, hear it, but actually encountering God, that's what makes the difference. In summary, fasting and prayer are linked. You don't have to fast every time you pray, but there is a time and a place for it. We can see from biblical examples that God shows up and proves his faithfulness when his people seek him. God's highest desire for us is to be intimate with him. And if fasting helps with that, I recommend it. It certainly helps with me. It focuses my mind when I have a hungry tummy. So here's the thing I'd like to challenge you with and think about. What are you asking and seeking God for? Have you asked the question, how long, Lord? Are you prepared to step out in faith? Or perhaps you just want more intimacy with God. Fasting does not only involve food. It could be something else that takes away from your time with God. I decided for Lent, I've never ever done this, to give up social media. Not that I'm addicted to it, I just like looking at recipes and then cookies get to you and then you get another recipe and then you spend ages on it and it's not good. It takes away from your time with God. And I've discovered I don't miss it at all, so that's a good thing. I can tell you, it does not matter what your reason is. God is faithful. And you will know his providence. The Bible doesn't mandate it. I've said that already. You don't have to fast. But with sincere prayers and seeking, you will know God's answer and his intervention. We are in a spiritual battle. Whether we see it or not, we are in a battle. I grew up in India, and I suppose the demonic is more visible. I've been in times and situations where my parents have been in this fasting and prayer thing that I mentioned to you, and the church would come and pray, but there would be other people coming who weren't Christian, and I remember distinctly this lady, my dad was praying, he was at the front, and she just, like a snake, slithered up from the back to the front, wanting to attack him. This is the reality of what we're faced with. Satan is at large. He is trying his best to destroy what God has for you. And sometimes you've got to battle with prayer and fasting. I can personally testify to God's answering prayer on several occasions with fasting. So when I was pregnant with Abigail, our second child, when she had her first 12-week scan, we had some screening tests, and some of them came back a little bit unsure. The midwife called me, and she said, just a little bit concerned about her growth. So Asher and I had a bit of a shock, and we were like, okay, we're just going to fast and pray. So we did, and I was driving home from work the day I fasted, and this song came to my mind, and it said, I don't know if you've heard it before, it says, I know my Redeemer lives. This life within me cries, I know my Redeemer lives. And I knew that we had more tests to come. We had to wait for a week. But I knew then that she was going to be okay. And I can testify to various things, but we've stood alongside friends and family, and we've fasted and prayed, and we've known and seen God's deliverance. And when he doesn't answer you in the way you want, he changes your heart. And that is equally important. I believe that we are all Esthers, all called for such time as this. There is a divine purpose that God has for you. May I encourage you to seek God, to hear from him, to act on what he says, and prove his faithfulness. I say this not just for you, I talk to it as us. Can we be encouraged to lay aside the sin that so easily besets us? It's easy. And it's easy to get into a rut. But But in Philippians, Paul says, and to stretch towards the mark of the high calling. Stretching can be uncomfortable. It causes discomfort. We don't want it, but it is good for us.